Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to open the session with our first talk given by Ohad Shamir on without replacement sampling for stochastic gradient methods.
Okay, thanks. So this talk is going to be about stochastic gradient methods for finite sum problems, where we can write the objective as the average over many individual functions. It's a very ubiquitous problem in machine learning. If, for instance, you're trying to minimize the average loss over many data points with respect to some class of predictors, and maybe one of the most well-known algorithms to solve this is stochastic gradient descent, where iteratively you sample a single individual function, take a step along the gradient of that individual function, and repeat. And that works. So the standard analysis is that, assuming you sample these individual functions uniformly and independently at random, then it works because then the step that you take in expectation corresponds to the gradient direction of the function you're trying to optimize. However, although most theory relies on this kind of sampling independently with replacement, it's not really what is commonly used in practice. What is much more common is to actually do this sampling without replacement, or equivalently take some random permutation over the data and go over it in that random order. Empirically, it tends to work considerably better and also has various other advantages. For instance, once the data is shuffled, it means you can access it in a sequential rather than random way, which in general is much faster. On the other hand, this kind of without replacement sampling introduces correlations between the stochastic gradients, which is pretty difficult to analyze. So this problem has been known for quite some time now, and let me briefly survey some of the existing results we have about it. So first of all, there are classical results on incremental gradient methods, which imply that basically if you go over the data in any order, if you do many, many passes of that form, then eventually you will converge to an optimal solution. So that doesn't even require the order to be stochastic, but at least in the worst case, the rate at which you converge can be pretty slow. Last year, there was a very, very nice paper. It was actually the topic of an invited talk at NIPS last year by Gurbuz Balaban, who's the Glarin Perillo, where they showed that if you do K passes over the data, where you repeatedly reshuffle the data after every pass, then you get a convergence of 1 over K squared, which is much faster than the 1 over K you get using with replacement. However, this result is relevant in the regime where you're willing to do many, many passes over the data and reshuffle every time. Quite often, we're not willing to do many reshuffles. It might be too expensive. And also, these methods often tend to work very well, at least for convex problems, even if you do just one or at most a few passes over the data. So that regime is not covered by that result. For that regime, there is a nice paper by Ben Recht and Chris Rev from 2012, where they showed that for least squares, without replacement sampling is not worse than with replacement sampling if a certain mathematical conjecture holds. However, that conjecture, at least as far as I know, is still open in general. So in our paper, we have a bunch of new results about this without replacement sampling. So in a nutshell, we focus on worst-case guarantees for various scenarios and show how without replacement sampling is at least not worse than with replacement sampling. And it also uses various ideas not obviously related to stochastic optimization, so things from adversarial online learning and transductive learning theory. And besides the theoretical analysis, it also has some algorithmic implications. So for instance, I'll describe how you can apply certain linearly converging stochastic gradient methods, such as SVRG, using sequential rather than random memory access, and also describe an application in the context of doing distributed learning and optimization with randomly partitioned data. So let's start maybe with the most basic and simple setting, where we're just assuming that the individual functions fi are convex in Lipschitz. And we're actually going to consider any algorithm which is based on a sequential stochastic iteration. So they go over the data in some random order, so it's without replacement sampling, and produces iterates. And our goal is to prove that this thing converges to, so the average of these iterates converges to the optimum at a 1 over square root t rate. Okay? Now, the only assumption we're going to make about the algorithm is that in adversarial online learning setting, it has bounded regret, which basically means that for any sequence of convex Lipschitz functions, stochastic or non-stochastic, the average loss over the individual iterates and functions minus the average loss with respect to any fixed point in the domain goes down like 1 over square root of t. So this is actually satisfied by many stochastic gradient methods, in particular plain vanilla stochastic gradient descent. And the idea of the proof is actually pretty simple. I'm going to show you the gist of it. So we're starting from this expression that we want to bound. And by a few lines of algebraic manipulations, it's possible to show that it's upper bounded by the sum of two things. So one is the expected regret with respect to the sequence of losses presented to the algorithm, which is 1 over square root of t by the online regret assumption. And then another term, which is basically a weighted average of the difference of the average loss of wt on the losses already observed, minus the average loss on the functions or the losses not yet observed in expectation over the permutation we're using. So this is the problematic term. So how large can it be? So I'm going to do something which might seem a bit silly at first. So I'm going to upper bound it by taking the supremum over any w in the domain. So let's try to interpret this expression. We're basically saying that we're taking our m data points or losses, we're splitting it at random to a set of size t and the rest, and we ask how large can be the difference between the average loss on one set and the other set. And it turns out that this is exactly the kind of quantities that have been studied in transductive learning theory, where we have some data set that is split to a training set and a test set, and assuming we found a good predictor on the training set, we ask how much larger can be the average loss on the test set. And there have been all kinds of techniques developed to bound these quantities. So for instance, one can show that this can be upper bounded by what is known as a transductive Rademacher complexity of the set W, which typically goes down with T and M. And if you plug it into the expressions derived earlier and simplify, you overall get a 1 over square root of T rate. So this is kind of a generic bound, but now let's say consider a specific prototypical example. So for instance, if we look at linear predictors with bounded norm and Lipschitz convex losses, we get the same bound up to numerical constants as what we have using the standard width replacement analysis. Also, if the function satisfies additional assumptions such as strong convexity, it can actually be improved to a 1 over t rate, and that requires some new ideas. I won't go into it, but you can see our poster or paper for details. Now, let's move to more modern methods, so to speak. So, if we assume that the functions that we're trying to optimize are smooth and strongly convex, there's been an entire family of algorithms developed over the past few years which have a linear convergence rate. So every iteration, the runtime is the same as plain vanilla stochastic gradient descent, but the number of iterations is only logarithmic in the required accuracy. So unlike standard SGD, you can get high accuracy solutions. So as I said, there are all kinds of algorithms, SAG, SDCA, SVRG, SAGA, and so on. And as far as I know, all of the existing analyses are based on width replacement sampling. So it's natural to ask, what if we do this kind of without replacement sampling? And that's what we're going to do for one such method, which is SVRG. So let's recall how the standard width replacement SVRG works. I'm not going to go into the details because it's not important for us. I'm going to focus instead on the way that the algorithm accesses the data. So the algorithm works in epochs. So there are S epochs. In each epoch, we compute one full gradient over the entire data, which is expensive, but you do it only once. And then you compute stochastic gradients of individual losses that you sample at random. So in terms of the data access, what we essentially have is one full pass over all of the data to compute the full gradient, then a bunch of stochastic gradients, so you need random access to the data, then another full pass, then again random access, and so on and so forth. And the analysis is that if you do log 1 over epsilon epochs like that, where the number of stochastic iterations each epoch is something like 1 over lambda, then you get an epsilon optimal solution. But now, instead, we can consider a without replacement variant of this, where instead of doing with replacement, we fix some random permutation over the individual functions and go over the data according to that permutation. So now, the way that the data is accessed is that we do one full pass. Then, assuming that the data was already shuffled once or loaded randomly into memory, we just go over T individual losses in order, then again a full pass, then the next T losses, and so on and so forth. So it's a much more of a sequential access as opposed to the random access for the standard version of SVRG. Now, in terms of the formal, so you can apply this on any loss, but at least in terms of the formal analysis, we can currently show that the same results for the without replacement case, for the with replacement case, also holds for without replacement, at least if these individual functions correspond to the squared loss, possibly of regularization. So we need to do log 1 over epsilon epochs, 1 over lambda stochastic iterations in each of the epochs. So what does this mean? So this means that as long as the strong convexity parameter is not too small, something like 1 over m, where m is the total number of data points, which is a very reasonable assumption in the context of machine learning problems, then the total number of stochastic iterations you need to do amounts to less than 1 pass over the data. So that means that if we run this algorithm, we can actually get an epsilon optimal solution using log of 1 over epsilon sequential passes over the data without the need for random access or for reshuffling the data. Okay? So this is one application. Another application I'll briefly talk about is in the context of distributed learning or optimization, where we assume that we now have k machines, and we assume that the data was split between the machines at random. And our goal, as before, is to minimize this function. But now we have some communication constraints. So communication is expensive. The machines can broadcast in communication rounds. And we want to solve this problem accurately with as little communication as possible and as fast as possible. In particular, if we have k machines rather than one machine, then ideally we want to be able to solve this problem k times faster. So actually, what you can do is something very simple. Just take the without replacement SVRG algorithm I talked about earlier and just simulate it as is in this distributed setting. So how does it work? So we're starting an epoch. Each of the machines compute the average gradient over its own data and then do distributed averaging of these vectors to compute the full gradient. So that's something that can be fully parallelized and requires just one communication round, assuming the machines broadcast to each other. Then one of the machines does the stochastic iterations on its own data. Then again, you compute the full gradient. Then the machine continues with the stochastic iterations. Once it exhausts its data points, you just move the torch to the next machine, and so on and so forth. Okay? So we can, it's just implementing the without replacement SVRG algorithm I talked about. And in terms of the analysis, if lambda is not too small, if it's at least k over m, which again is reasonable if k, the number of machines, is not too large, then this process is over in log 1 over epsilon epochs. The amount of communication you need is just log 1 over epsilon rounds, where the machine just needs to communicate vectors. And the runtime is dominated by the fully parallelized full gradient computations, so you can actually get a linear speed up, with the runtime, again, being logarithmic in 1 over epsilon, so you can get a high accuracy solution. Now, I should emphasize that this idea of applying SVRG as is to distributed problems was not invented by us. It's actually due to a beautiful paper by Jason Lee, Kihang Lin, Tengyu Ma, and Tianbao Yang from last year. However, they relied on the standard with replacement SVRG, which is actually more challenging to simulate here because if you do with replacement sampling, at some point, you might need, in the stochastic iterations, to use some data point which belongs to a different machine, something that you already used in the past. And then you need to start communicating examples between machines, and the communication costs increases. On the other hand, doing this without replacement seems more natural here when the data is split. And indeed, the theoretical analysis leads to near optimal performance in relatively wider parameter regimes. Again, at least for the squared loss. So to summarize, I talked about competitive worst case guarantees for without replacement stochastic gradient methods, where we're interested in situations where we don't want to do many reshuffles of our data. I talked about how this allows us, at least in some cases, to move from random access to the data to sequential access, which is almost always much faster, and how you can use it to do distributed learning with randomly partitioned data. There are also many open questions here. So first of all, some of our results could have probably better parameter dependencies, but also things like, for this SVRG result that I talked about, can we show that it's not just for squared loss, but in general, smooth losses? We conjecture that it's true. Can we show it for other methods besides the SVRG? And also, can we show that without replacement sampling is not just as good in a worst case sense, but is it really strictly better, even this regime we're talking about where we do just one or a few data passes? And we have some ideas in that direction, but nothing concrete yet. And that concludes my talk. Thank you very much.
So there's time for questions. Please go to the mics if you have one.
Hi. Yeah, so I didn't catch whether your analysis for SVRG hold when you needed to do more than one full pass of stochastic updates, mm-hmm. or you needed enough strong convexity only for the one pass case.
Yeah, so the analysis that we have, we were interested in a situation where you don't do data reshuffling. It is possible, though, to extend the analysis to a situation where you do a few passes, where after every pass you do the reshuffling. At some point, though, it does break down. So you can extend it a little bit, but not by very much. But again, as I said, you just need the strong convexity parameter to be an order of 1 over m. And in machine learning problems, we usually need strong convexity, some strong convexity anyway, just for generalization purposes. So I think it's a reasonable regime, but yeah, you can extend it a little bit.
I just now you showed a diagram showing the SVRG without replacement. And in that diagram, in every step, you have a mini batch, right? Mm-hmm. So inside that mini batch, it's without replacement. I mean, the elements in the mini batch is not repetitive, right?
Yeah, so every time we fix some random order, some permutation over the data, then we go sequentially on the first T losses, then the next T losses, and so on. Yeah.
In some papers about SVRG, the mini batch is repetitive. I mean, inside one mini batch, there are repetitive elements. Mm-hmm. So, what's the different from theirs?
Yeah, well, it's different because we are focusing on doing without replacement. So. We don't. So, if you do with replacement, it could happen that in the same batch, you have more than one example. You have an example appearing more than once. Here, we're looking at a situation where you touch each data point exactly once in order.
I think your without replacement is like between different steps. You don't reuse the elements.
Yes. That's the idea.
And inside one element, you don't reuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much for all your questions, and thanks to Ohad for your talk.